Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The left is after our kids. No one can deny that. It's either drag queen story hours, pro-LGBT curriculum in schools, gay day of silence, Planned Parenthood, and advocates for youth curriculum being used in the name of comprehensive sex ed. Planned Parenthood resource centers being set up in schools as we have taken place in this county. It's also the efforts of schools to take pregnant girls to get an abortion. Now Illinois Democratic lawmakers are seeking to go one step further and don't think liberal lawmakers like those in Pennsylvania aren't watching what's happening in Illinois. My guest today is Lori Higgins. She's cultural affairs writer for the Illinois Family Institute. Thanks, Lori, for being with us.
Hi, Diane. Thanks so much for having me.
And, of course, you're based in Chicago, which is a crazy place. But I was surprised that the Illinois lawmakers, the liberal lawmakers, of course, are going this one step further. Illinois is a liberal state. No one can deny that. You know, we can attribute most of that to Chicago itself. And in an article I read, you say that Illinois is the Mecca of the Northwest when it comes to abortion.
Yes, the Mecca of the Midwest.
Yeah, the Midwest.
We now have the most liberal abortion laws in the country. And the story, and people should go to our website and read the stories, multiple articles on how this grotesque bill passed on Sunday night on Memorial Day weekend, replacing the content of a bill that had already made it through the process with the abortion bill, which does all sorts of things, including saying that abortion is a fundamental right.
Did you say replace the content of a bill that had already passed?
Yes. In fact, so the bill was originally proposed, I think, in February.
Okay.
It didn't even make it out of committee. And then at the last minute, they took an existing bill that had already passed out of committee and replaced it with the content of this bill and took a vote on a Sunday night on Memorial Day weekend. I mean, it was so offensive what happened. And then if you watch the signing ceremony with our liberal governor, J.B. Pritzker, where they all erupt into applause, I mean, it's really offensive.
Like New York did with...
Exactly.
Oh, exactly.
But this, I mean, it eliminates any restrictions on post-viability abortions. It allows abortions for any reason or no reason through the entirety of the 9 months. You wanted to talk about, we had a parental notification bill, and this was just a notification bill, not consent, just notification, and it had a judicial workaround. So if a girl is from a very abusive family or something, she could get a judicial, you know, she could circumvent that.
Pennsylvania has a similar law.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, that wasn't good enough. So now they got rid of that parental notification bill, too, because liberals think that their views supersede the views of parents and that their views are absolutely non-negotiably correct. There is such arrogance on the part of liberals, and our state is particularly offensive. One of the chief sponsors of this bill, her name is Kelly Cassidy. She's a lesbian. She's married, and I'm using my quote fingers there, to Newt Gingrich's lesbian half-sister, Candace Gingrich.
Wow.
And Kelly Cassidy sponsors every offensive bill that comes down the pike, including our LGBTQ indoctrination bill for grades K through 12, which has passed and signed into law because we have a supermajority of Democrats in both houses and a liberal governor with a first cousin who's transgender.
Well, I thought they were brothers, but it's first cousin.
No, it's his first cousin.
Quote-unquote colonel, that one?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, if they're interested in this issue, they should do some research into what the Pritzker family does with their money to promote the whole transcultic ideology with donating to research centers and all sorts of places. It's really troubling and frightening, I would argue.
Oh, wow. Where can we get that information?
I'm trying to, I haven't written about the Nexus because, I don't know that many people are interested in all these, but it has been written about, okay. And I should try to dig
so
that
just,
up and...
Just do a search.
Yeah, send, someone
Google,
sent it to
Google
me.
Google will block it. Google will block
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Wow. Oh, wow. It's interesting. So you said that the lesbian Kelly Cassidy is a sponsor of this bill also, or the primary
yes,
sponsor?
Yes, she's a sponsor of the bill, and actually she came out when they had this, Memorial Day weekend.
Unconstitutional efforts there. Can someone challenge that law, the one that passed under suspicious circumstances back in May?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a legislative tool that they have at their disposal.
It?
So it wasn't anything
okay.
illegal or
so
anything.
In Illinois, it's okay.
But she came out, and she has not, it's more than one occasion, she kind of tries to force tears when she's talking. Mm-hmm. And she talked about, had it not been for the legal availability of abortion, she wouldn't have her children now because she had to have an abortion. Well, I went and researched it and found out it wasn't what people normally call an abortion. She had an ectopic pregnancy.
Okay.
And she had talked about it in a Sun Times article. I guess she assumed that no one would look it up.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually, at one of the public, I think it was a press conference they held, she was wearing very prominently her coat hanger necklace.
Oh.
And so I wrote about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Next press conference, she didn't have it on,
wow.
thankfully. But, this is what, there's a movement in Illinois right now to have become a separate state from Chicago.
Oh, that'd be good.
I know. Obviously it's not going to happen.
Well, right.
But people feel very disenfranchised. Central and Southern Illinois feel like they have no voice.
That's
because
like
Chicago controls it.
Yeah. Well, that's like Philadelphia. We've been trying to give it to New Jersey for a long time, but New Jersey doesn't want Philadelphia either. But you say now you have a supermajority of Democrats in both the House and Senate?
Yep. And we have Mike Madigan, which one of our columnists at the Chicago Tribune says he runs Madaganistan because he is the longest-running Speaker of the House in history in the country.
Oh, my goodness.
And he controls Springfield, controls it with an iron fist. He's
wow.
in his 70s, Mike Madigan.
When you're looking at Illinois, there definitely are conservative, well, the same as Pennsylvania, there definitely are conservative. I think the majority of the state, looking at geographically, the majority of the state land, when you look at the land itself,
right,
is conservative. Because, Illinois has farms and, it's farmland
right.
out there and such as that, so it's not all liberal. But
in the middle of the state, we also have the University of Illinois, which is liberal. But other than that,
okay.
you're right, we do have, but there's been so much grotesque gerrymandering going on here that to ensure that they keep control.
Okay.
And really, we are really, Governor Rauner, our Republican governor, the previous one mm-hmm. before J.B. Pritzker, he signed a bill into law that requires our Medicaid to pay for abortions. A Republican governor
to pay for abortions.
Supported
yeah.
that, yeah. And now with this, I think the new bill, I think, requires DCFS, our, Child Protective mm-hmm. Services, to pay for abortions.
Wow. So you have a very, obviously, very, very pro-abortion governor, current governor also,
mm-hmm.
and a very pro-abortion legislative body. And this bill that has been assigned to law, right, the one that
yep.
that gets
mm-hmm.
away with the 1995 law. That
yep, the
allows,
parental notification
yeah,
law
correct.
Is now. And actually, that was fought in court for, I think it was like something like 17 years. It didn't take effect. And then once
oh my
it took
goodness.
Effect, there was another challenge. So it was really only in effect for a very, very short time, and then they passed this. So, the states around us now, we have people coming from out of state
mm-hmm.
to get their abortions here. And actually, I wrote another article that not enough people paid attention to, and it has to do with this, it's a sort of a complicated Medicaid thing, but it seems possible that someone could come into Illinois from out of state without even having residency, actually with being an illegal alien, and be able to go and get this Medicaid presumptive eligibility, it's called. It's called Medicaid presumptive eligibility, and you sign up for it, and you have, in effect, 60 days to access all sorts of medical services, and I believe that it is possible for people to come in, get Medicaid presumptive eligibility the day after they arrive, take that money over to Planned Parenthood and get an abortion.
Yeah.
And because in this Medicaid presumptive eligibility, mm-hmm. which other states have also, you should look into it, it says that the when the person comes and applies, they are prohibited, the staff are prohibited from asking for residency proof, for even proof of legal status. They're prohibited from asking that.
And this is federal law, talking about Medicaid.
Well, yes, the Medicaid presumptive eligibility, I think that's I'm not sure about that.
Okay, it might just be Illinois.
It might be Illinois, but I do know other states have it.
Something similar to that, yeah. I know that, our liberal governor has done all sorts of things. He expanded Medicaid to include abortion and such, and our previous governor, Tom Corbett, would not do that. But he's done all sorts of things on the transgender issue also. But
oh, yeah. I just was looking yesterday on Medicare and what Medicare covers regarding Medicare. I haven't looked at Medicaid yet, but Medicare covers surgery and hormonal, well, whatever you want to call it. I call it cross-sex hormone doping. But
Medicare covers that.
Yep. I you can look it up. I'll send you the link.
Wow,
I found it yesterday.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's really easy to find if you just do Medicare transgender. It comes up with a particular document. It's specifically for that.
We live in a crazy world. I mean, I say that on a regular basis anymore because it's becoming crazier and crazier. And, we have this new law in Illinois now, and I can almost guarantee you that there are legislators here in Pennsylvania who are looking at the possibility of introducing just such a bill that would eliminate the parental notification law. And you said that the law that was just gotten rid of, the 1995 law, was actually in effect for a very brief period of time because there were so many challenges to it.
Right. It was tied up in court for many, many years. I think it was 17 years. I could be wrong on that, but it was many years that it was tied up. And then when it took effect, then I think there was then another challenge to it. And I don't remember what that happened to challenge. It was operative, but it was for a very short time. But that, but they don't, and they always trot out what a hassle it is even to have for the judicial, circumvention available to them. Even that is insufficient for them because that's a hassle.
Yeah.
There should be, in the views of leftists, there should be zero impediment mm-hmm. for anybody to access an abortion.
Yeah, I know that the story, it was a One News Now story, but the judge is quoted, actually it may have been NPR, anyway, it was quoted that 99.5% of girls who stand before a judge are deemed mature enough to go forward with an abortion. And that's the same thing in Pennsylvania. I mean, we do have the judicial review, so to speak, where a girl can go and...
Judicial bypass, that's what it's
judicial
called
Judicial bypass. And they can go to a judge. In almost every single case, the judge rules that the girl is mature enough to get an abortion without parental consent, without parents' commission or permission.
You know what's interesting about that is, how would a judge determine that? Like a half an hour in front of him?
Maybe, yeah.
And it's also interesting in light of the fact that, in the past decade, there's been all this brain research talking about, brain development isn't complete until probably mid-20s, and some say even later, particularly for boys.
Yeah.
And so you're going to say a 16-year-old, 15-year-old girl is mature enough to make a decision like that?
Yeah,
I don't know on what basis, what criteria they use to determine in this half hour they see this girl, her maturity. How do they determine it?
It's interesting how the left ignores those type of studies you just mentioned when it doesn't go along with their agenda.
Right.
When it comes to the abortion issue, when it comes to the transgender issue, those type studies are ignored when it's convenient for the left.
Right.
But yeah, that's a very good point that the studies are showing that maturity doesn't happen till 25 or older.
Right.
So what Illinois, with this law being in effect, then it's going to be a primary location for sex traffickers and sex predators to bring young minor girls for an abortion that they've impregnated.
Exactly. I mean, that was one of the concerns, one of the many, many concerns that were raised about this bill. I mean, it's really tragic that here in the Midwest, you would have the most extreme abortion legislation in the country emerge.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's I mean, it's not a surprise in that everyone knows that Illinois is really a radical state, as you say, because it's controlled by Chicago. But it's still, sometimes you sit back and say, really, the Midwest?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
We're flyover country. Why is this happening here?
Except Chicago.
I'm writing an article right now. We have an Illinois Human Rights Commission. Do you have a Human Rights Commission?
Oh, yes.
Well, they just decided, and it got a little bit of press, but not much, so I hope to make it more press tomorrow. They just decided a transgender, it's actually a girl, a biological girl, filed a complaint against her school district because claiming that she was discriminated against based on her gender identity, which violates the Illinois Human Rights Act, which passed many, many years ago, but they did something very tricky here in Illinois, which is done almost nowhere. So everywhere else, people separate, liberals do. Sexual orientation is completely distinct from gender identity.
Mm-hmm, right.
But when this law passed many years ago, they said sexual orientation includes gender identity.
Really?
Yes. Very unusual.
That's
so now she claimed discrimination based on sexual orientation, but really what she meant was gender identity. So the Illinois Human Rights Commission, which three commissioners, two of whom are not attorneys, they're all appointees,
mm-hmm.
and two of them are Democrats, one of them is a liberal Republican, they have decided, and I should have said, she was discriminated against because even though they allowed her to change her clothes in the boys' locker room, they required her to be behind a privacy curtain, and that's in her view, and their view, gender identity discrimination, because the real boys
didn't have to
do that, and they have decided 3-0 that the school did discriminate against her.
Oh, my goodness.
So people need to understand that's going to come to every school. So what they're saying is a biological girl, anatomically intact,
mm-hmm.
has the right to change her clothes in front of boys who are changing their clothes.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Right.
Wow. In the liberal world, it makes a whole lot of sense. But, yeah, we see, even with schools that allow kids who identify as transgender to use, like, the bathroom in the nurse's office. I mean, there are cases where these kids are saying, well, you know, it makes me feel like a second-class citizen because I have to do that.
Right.
It's just crazy. But
so
yeah.
now what's happening then is the schools are saying, so they're allowing those kids to go into opposite-sex private spaces, and they're saying if normal kids, the left likes to call them cisgender, I call them normal.
Yeah.
If normal kids don't like that, they can go use the restroom in the nurse's office.
Yeah.
Instead of the one that corresponds to their actual sex.
Exactly. Like I said, a crazy world.
Yep.
So, you know, this is just what has happened in Illinois is just another example of how parental rights are being impacted, are being taken away.
Right.
Because with this new law, parents will have absolutely no say if their minor child can have an abortion or whatever. And, you know, the left is, one of the sponsors is saying, well, this is all to protect the girls from abusive situations. But yet it's taken away the rights of loving parents to have a say in the life of their grandchild, really. Not only in the life of their child, but of their grandchild. And just another example of, even with the bathroom issue, parents don't have a right to make up enough of a fuss to have the school pass a policy that would not allow transgender, in this case, a girl who thinks she's a boy, to undress in the locker room without some kind of a privacy screen.
And so what does that say? What does that say about the feelings and rights of the boys who don't want to change their clothes in front of a female peer?
That's true, too. And that happened over in Boyertown here in Pennsylvania, where the courts ruled that the boys had no right, basically, in that that was okay for a girl to undress in the boys' locker room. It's scary as we see parental rights being continually attacked. Do you have any advice for parents who see their rights being taken away?
Well, yes, I do. It's probably not advice a lot of parents will want, but I say if parents have the means and ability to pull their kids out of public schools, they need to do it. We cannot have our children raised by people who don't recognize and respect and honor sexual differentiation, who use curricula and all sorts of other, not just curricula, but, you know, for example, anti-bullying programs. I'm all for anti-bullying, but they use them to normalize homosexuality and the trans ideology. So Christian parents need to get their kids out of public schools. And if they can't, and there are parents who can't, they need to make some demands on their school, which is to say, under no circumstances is my child allowed to share private spaces with peers of the opposite sex. Under no circumstances are they exposed to discussions, activities, or resources that espouse or affirm homosexuality or the trans ideology, and ask those teachers to get back to them in an email saying they will honor that request. Mm-hmm. If the teachers will not honor that request, they are telling you they're going to indoctrinate your kids.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually have on our website parental opt-out or an opt-out form that parents can use that Liberty Counsel created last year, but still obviously is still good for this year and any other future school year, but that would do exactly that. Where parents go to our website, afapa.org, and under resources tab, scroll down a little bit, and there's the opt-out form, and I encourage parents to use that.
But can I yep. interject uh-huh. one thing yep. here? I just recently wrote an article, I'm sure you know, about the National Education Association's recent meeting, and I listed their business items that passed, and one of them is to integrate essentially LGBTQ indoctrination across curriculum.
Yep.
So that's one of the business items they passed. They want to have that happen in all public schools around the country. So what that means is an opt-out is useless because they want to integrate it in every class. So it's not like, oh, they're going to have a presentation from an outside person from, you know, GLSEN come in and speak to kids and you can opt out of that. When it's integrated throughout your K through 12 curriculum in every class or many of them, there's no way to opt out of it.
That's true, because if it's in literature class or civics class or whatever, that's very true.
If they can have it in social studies classes, in world languages, in English classes, in theater classes, in health classes, they can in the younger grades, they integrate it in other, you know, they don't have them sort of separated like that.
Right.
They can have where they have the social emotional learning standards that they have to promote, and so they can weave it into whenever they are addressing those things in anti-bullying programs and resources. So in the past, they haven't used all those classes to do that, but they have been for over 10 years already, and they want to have more of that. You know, we just passed that law, I think I mentioned earlier in this interview, the indoctrination bill, and that says they have to teach the roles and contributions of homosexuals and transgenders in, I think it's grades 6 through 12, and you can't graduate from 8th grade unless you demonstrate a certain degree of proficiency in the in understanding of their roles and contributions, which is just
a way
to say they want to introduce that and say, hey, this homosexual person did this cool thing, therefore homosexuality is cool. That's the underlying motivation in teaching that. It's that because already the roles and contributions of homosexuals have been taught. James Baldwin's literature has been taught. People know that Sally Ride was the first astronaut. They talked about their contributions. Schools just didn't say, and oh, by the way, they're homosexual.
Exactly, yeah.
Because it's irrelevant.
It is, except for the ones who push an agenda.
Yep.
That's for sure. Okay, how can folks contact you?
You can go to illinoisfamily.org, all spelled out.
Okay, illinoisfamily.org. And I do encourage folks to do that because there's lots of good stuff on the website. And Laurie always has lots of good articles. So thanks so much, Laurie, for your insightfulness and for all this bad news that you brought to us.
I know. You're welcome for the bad news.
Okay. Hey, you take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Keep up the good work. Okay. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.